would work on these documents, and I always have to wait on someone else to translate it for me. Well, one day I went on the internet, and I found a place that would translate from English to Spanish. And so I did it, printed out my little document, and I gave it for them to read. And what was funny is they started laughing. at the translation. So where did you get this translation? Well, I just did it on the internet. So, oh, don't trust that. Because something got lost in the translation. I came across a story, which I thought was pretty funny. But they have those programs on the internet where you can take and change from a language. Well, someone decided they're going to take the old standard, take me out to the ball game, and they're going to translate that into German. And then they want to make sure that it was correct. So they translated back into English. And they came with some kind of, of course, you know the lines, take me out to the ball game. It says, take me out to the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, and I don't care if I ever get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball game. So they translated into German and back into English, and this is what they got. It's kind of militant sounding when it came back. Kind of like something that Arnold Schwarzenegger might say, but it says, execute me at the ball game. Execute me with the masses. Buy me certain ground nuts and cracker stuffing. I'm not interested if I ever receive back. Let me root for the main team. If they don't win, it is dishonor. For there are 1, 2, 3 impacts on you at the old ball play. Something got lost in the translation. You know, as I was thinking about that and as was looking at what I was going to talk about today, I think sometimes through the century, something has got lost in the translation when we talk about Jesus. I'm not talking about the translation of the scriptures from the Greek language, but I'm talking about something about how we perceive Jesus Christ. Often Jesus lends up maybe a caricature of who he really is. Today, I want to talk to you about the Jesus I know, the Jesus I've known for over 32 years, almost next month it'll be 33 years, who has changed my life. I want not only to provide you with information about Jesus, I want you to experience Jesus today. If I had a friend investigating Christianity for the first time, and maybe we're sitting down at Starbucks and we're talking over some coffee, and one day he looked at me and he said, Mike, you have been a Christian for over 32 years. Who is this Jesus? What would I say to my friend? What would I tell him? I think I would tell my friend 3 stories. And I think each story illuminates a different aspect of who Jesus is. The first one's kind of a sad story. It took place in Korea shortly after the Korean War. A Korean woman had an affair with an American soldier, and she became pregnant. Shortly after that, the young man went back to the United States, and she never saw him again. She gave birth to a little girl, and the little girl looked different from the other children. She had very fair skin. She had curly hair. In that culture, children of mixed races were ostracized by the community. In fact, many children would kill their children because they didn't want them to face such rejection. But this woman did not want to do this. She tried as best as she could to raise this little girl. For 7 years, she raised her as best as she could for 7 years until one day the rejection just became too much. She did something probably no one in this room would think of doing. She turned that girl over to the streets. She abandoned her. The little girl was ruthlessly taunted by people. They called her the ugliest word in the Korean language, tukki, which means alien devil. It didn't take long for this little girl to draw some conclusions about herself based on how people treated it. For 2 years, she lived on the streets until finally she made her way to an orphanage. One day, word came that a couple from America was coming and they were going to adopt a little boy. All the children in the orphanages were so excited that one of them was going to have a life, that they were going to have hope, and they were going to have a family. So all the other children helped clean up each of the little boys to get them ready, giving them baths and combing their hair and wondering which one of them was going to be the lucky one that was going to be adopted by this American family. The next day, the couple came, and this is what the girl recalled. It was like Goliath had came back to life. I saw this man. He was huge. He lifted up each and every one of the little babies. I knew that he loved each and every one of them as if they were his very own. I saw tears running down his face, and I know if he could, he would have taken every single one of those children home with him. He saw me out of the corner of his eye, and listen what she said, how she described herself. She says, "Now let me tell you, I was 9 years old, but I didn't even weigh 30 pounds. I was a scrawny thing. I had worms in my body. I had lice in my hair. I had boils over my entire body. I was full of scars. I was not a pretty sight. But the man came over to me, and he began rattling something off in English. And I looked up at him, and he took his huge hands, and he placed them on my face. What was he saying? He was saying, 'I want this child. This is the child for me.'" And as I heard that woman, my mind froze on that scene, because that is the Jesus that I know. That is what Jesus would do, because Jesus peers beneath the ugliness of our sins and the scars of this life, and he looks all the way down to our soul, and he sees a person made in the image of the Almighty God. Jesus wants to take your face in his strong hands, but gentle hands, and he wants to cup your face, and he wants to look in your eyes and say to you, "I want this child. This is the child for me. I waited since the foundations of the world to be able to cup your face in my hands, to look into those eyes and say, 'I want to adopt you.'" See, that's the first thing I'd want my friend to know about the Jesus that I know. If you're like me, you come to church and you see people. And a lot of times you look at people and you think in their lives that they are perfect. But if they only knew what goes on in my life, if they only knew those secret thoughts, if they knew how I really live when I'm away from this building, if they only knew, they would reject me just like that little girl was rejected in Korea. But the amazing thing about Jesus Christ is this. Jesus doesn't see us that way. Jesus knows everything already. He's aware of the secret sin in your life, and knowing all of that, he still wants to reach out to you, and he wants to say to you, "I want this child." Then something shocking happened to that little girl, that little 9-year-old girl. As the man reached out to her, she said later, "The hand on my face felt so good. And inside I said, 'Oh, keep it up. Don't stop. Don't let your hand go.' But no one had ever shown her that type of affection before." She said, "I didn't know how to respond." So she yanked his hands off of her face, and she looked him in the eye, and she spat upon him, and she turned around, and she ran away. Can you imagine? Her window of opportunity is open. Here is her hope, and what does she do? She spits in his face. When I was reading that, I was saying to myself, how in the world is that possible? Then I stopped and, wait a minute, I've done the same thing with God. You probably have too. Have you ever turned your back on Jesus? Let me tell you something about the Jesus I know. He is a lot like the American couple at the orphanage, because they returned the next day. They understood the suffering that she had went through and the trauma that she has experienced. Despite her initial rejection of them, they went back to that little girl with the lice in her hair and the boils all over her body. And they said, "We want this child. This is the one we want to adopt." And they did. They named her Stephanie. They took her to get the medical attention that she needed. They loved her as their child, their very own child. She grew up and became a follower of Jesus Christ. She was married. She's married today with children. She lives here in the United States. I would say to my friend who asked about Jesus, if you've ever turned your back on him, if you've ever let that window of opportunity close, God has not given up on you. If you're asking me about Jesus because something inside of you is stirring, the Spirit of God is stirring something inside you and He wants to draw you towards Him, don't let that opportunity pass you by. Pursue God because God is pursuing you. The danger is not on His side of the equation. It is on yours. And see, that's what I tell my friend about the Jesus that I know. He wants to adopt you because He loves you. In fact, the Bible tells us, uses the term adoption in Romans 8:23. He says, we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons and daughters of God. There's something inside of us that longs to be adopted into the family of God. There's something else that I want my friend to know about the Jesus that I know. So I would tell my friend a second story. There are some churches, and as part of their baptismal service, what they do is they have each person to write their sins on a piece of paper. And then they take that, and before their baptism, they take that paper and they pin that sin or sins to the cross. In the line this day, there was a lady, and she tells a story of how she felt that day when she's standing in line and she's one of the ones that are going to be baptized that day. She said, it's the most fear I can remember in my life. See, I wrote on that tiny piece of paper, I wrote this sin, and the word I wrote was abortion. I was so scared someone was going to open that paper and read it out loud, and they find out about me. I wanted to leave that line. I wanted to walk out of the auditorium. The guilt and the fear was just that strong. When it was my turn, I looked towards the cross and I pinned the paper there. I was directed to the preacher to be baptized. He looked at me straight in the eyes, and I thought for sure that he was going to read that terrible secret that I had kept from everyone for so long. But instead, I felt like God was telling me, I love you. It's okay. You have been forgiven. I felt so much love for me, a terrible sinner. It's the first time I really felt forgiveness and unconditional love. She said, it was unbelievable. Do you have a secret sin that you wouldn't want anyone to know about? You're so afraid of anyone finding it out, you wouldn't even write it on a piece of paper for fear that someone might find you out. Let me tell you something about the Jesus that I know. Not only does He want to adopt you as a child, He wants to lift the weight of guilt off of your shoulders. The Bible says He completely forgives us our sin, and that forgiveness is available through Jesus Christ. The Lord said in Isaiah 43:25, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as He removed our transgressions from us, He wants to forgive you. And then I would tell my friend a third story about a guy named Billy Moore. See, Billy Moore grew up in a tough city in Ohio in an impoverished family. He got involved with some crime when he was very young, and he would smoke a little dope, and he got drunk, and he'd break into places and steal their cash registers, all kinds of petty theft. Then he joined the army, got married. His wife left him, took their child. He was broke, and he was desperate. One night, he and a friend were out drinking and smoking and talking how broke they were. Then his friend, he says, I know a guy who lives not too far from here, and the word is that he does not trust banks. He keeps all of his money in his bedroom. And Billy says, well, he must be some big, tough guy that no one's going to mess with. And his friend said, no, he's just an old guy. He wouldn't hurt a fly. So the plot hatched in Billy's mind. He went back to his barracks, he got his gun, he loaded it. He drove out to the man's house, and he broke in, and he started ransacking the house. put yourself in this elderly gentleman's position. He is 77 years old. He's in his bedroom as Billy breaks in the front door. He hears the noise and he's afraid. He has a shotgun he used for hunting. As Billy Moore broke through the bedroom door with the gun in his hand, the elderly Jenny pointing the shotgun, pulled the trigger, and the blast went off. The buckshot went right over Billy's shoulder, missed him completely. Billy pointed his gun at the old man, fired twice. The man fell down dead. Billy rifled through his pockets and ransacked the bedroom, and he walked away there that day with $5,600. He fled the trailer to rural Georgia. It didn't take long for the police to track him down, and they arrested him and took him to jail. Can you just imagine that first night? There he is in jail. His jail cell, and he realizes that his life is over. He's charged with capital murder. He has the electric chair waiting for him. Well, Billy Moore's mom was a Christian, and she knew a Christian couple who did not live very far from where from the jail there in Georgia. She calls and says, "I got a son. He's been charged with capital murder. Would you please go and visit him?" They went to visit Billy Moore, and they said to Billy, "Jesus is willing to give you a fresh start and a new chance on life." Billy looked at them. He was dumbfounded. He says, "You have got to be kidding me. You see, don't you realize my situation here? I murdered an old grandfather. I'm charged with capital murder. They are going to kill me. My life is over. There is no new beginnings for me." But that Christian man looked right back at Billy and he said this, "No, you don't understand. Jesus Christ loves you so much, he wants to find a way to make your life count." Billy not only heard those words that man and that woman had said to him, but he saw Jesus in them. He said later, "Nobody ever told me Jesus died for me. It was a love I could feel. It was a love I wanted. It was a love I needed." Billy said that he was sorry and that for what he had done, and he wanted to live for God. He did not know how much time he had left, but if God could do something to make his life count, he would do it. There was a bathtub there in the jail. They got permission from the guards and filled it with water. Billy Moore was baptized into Jesus Christ. God began to change that man from the inside out. Billy went to court and pleaded guilty. He says, "How can I say I didn't do it when I did?" They found him guilty and sentenced him to death. But the criminal justice system was slow. It took over 16 years of living in a cage, waiting to die. But during those 16 years, Billy opened his life up to God. God challenged him from the inside out. Billy Moore became a model prisoner, so much so that the guards nicknamed him the Peacemaker. Death Row was an ugly, violent place until Billy got there. Billy had Bible studies with the other inmates, and one by one, they found redemption and new life in Jesus Christ. The place had been awful and violent. It now became a place of hope where people cared for each other. So I would say to my friend, the issue has never been whether God would forgive you for what you have done. It's very clear. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." The issue is, will you let God forgive you like Billy Moore did? If Billy Moore can be forgiven by God for murdering a defenseless grandfather, then what in the world have you done that would disqualify you from the forgiveness of God? The issue has never been, can God make your life count? The issue has never been, will God transform you? The Bible makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person. He's not the same anymore. The question is not, will he change you? The question is, will you, like Billy Moore, allow God to change you? If God can use a person like Billy Moore, living in a cage, then think about what God can do with your life. Think what He could do in your family, with your children, in your neighborhood, and in the church. In August of 1990, the court system finally caught up with Billy Moore. The hours were ticking down to August the 22nd. That is the day that he was scheduled to be killed. He was placed in the death watch cell, and his lawyers came to call on him. They came to console him, and he ended up consoling them. Billy would say things like, are you guys okay? And I know it must be difficult. And he said, can I pray for you? See, they were reaching out to him, but Billy was reaching out to them. Why? Because Billy Moore was not afraid to meet Jesus Christ face to face. Why wasn't he afraid? Because he knew if God loves me so much, if God wants to adopt me, if he wants to forgive me of my sins, then I can trust him when I close my eyes in that electric chair. He's going to take care of me forever. On August the 21st, 1990, 7.5 hours before Billy Moore was scheduled to be electrocuted, something amazing took place. In fact, it's unprecedented in American history. The Georgia Pardon and Parole Board held an emergency hearing about a model prisoner that they heard about. The five members of the Pardon and Parole Board looked at this repentant man, and they did something amazing to make the front page of the New York Times. They looked at Billy Moore, and they said, we are going to show you mercy. They threw out his death penalty against Billy Moore, and they did something that had never been done in American history. They set the gears in place, in motion, to release him from prison. It was the first time in history that a confessed killer on death row now is going to be set free. And that is what I would tell my friend is like Jesus. It's like the grace. See, his grace is unmerited favor. Billy Moore deserved to die. Instead, he was set free. And that's what Jesus does. You know where Billy Moore is right now? Billy Moore is today where he is every Sunday. He is in church worshiping the God of the second chance because Billy Moore is a preacher. Billy Moore was sitting with another minister just talking, and the preacher began to goad him a little, and he says, it's just the two of us here, Billy. Just us. You can tell me what causes miraculous change in your life. It was the prison rehabilitation system, right? He laughed and he said, no, it wasn't. What was it then? Was it some self-help program? He says, no, it wasn't that. Was it transcendental meditation? Was it psychological counseling? Billy says, come on, you know better than that. You know what it was. So tell me, what changed Billy Moore? And he says, I will tell you plain and simple. It was Jesus Christ. He changed me in ways I could never change myself. He gave me a reason to live. He helped me do the right thing for a change. He gave me a heart for other people, and he saved my soul. See, that's the business Jesus is in. And those are exact five things all of us want. Don't we want to be changed in ways we can never change on our own? Don't we want to have a reason for living? Don't we want to be helped to do the right thing? Don't we want to have a heart for other people? Don't we want God to save our soul and take us to heaven? See, that is what Jesus does. And the amazing thing, it's free. It is a gift. It costs Jesus everything. The price tag was his suffering and death on the cross to pay for our sin. It cost him everything. It cost us zero. He offers it as a gift, a free gift, because he loves us. In my imagination, I think about that friend sitting across from me there at Starbucks, and I just wish he would look back at me and say, I want to know that Jesus. How could I not want to know that Jesus? How could I not want to know that Jesus? How could I not want to be adopted and forgiven and empowered to live? What do I do, Mike? What do I do? I'll say to my friend, it's so easy. Just do what Billy Moore did. He was sorry for what he had done. He repented of his sins. Then he went to court and he confessed. You confess that you are a sinner and you want to have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Say today, I know you are holy and my sins have separated me from you. I understand now why you seem so distant from me. I don't want you to be distant anymore. I want you to live inside of me. I want you to change my life, to adopt me, to forgive me, and do something with my life. Then I would say to my friend to do what Billy Moore did and be baptized into him so that your sins are washed away and that the gift of the Holy Spirit could come and reside within your life. Jesus will adopt you and he will forgive you. And he will begin the amazing process of changing you and using your life for good. Who does not want to know a Jesus like that? Would you like to meet him? Would you like to meet him so that today you can begin to know him? And when you die, that you can live in perfect state forever, untainted, united with God in heaven. If you want to know that Jesus, we're going to offer an opportunity for you here this morning, the opportunity to get your soul right with God. Don't turn your back. Don't say no again. Just say yes to him. This morning, if you have that decision that you need to make, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, a hymn of decision. Maybe that's the decision you need to make. Maybe there's others here that need to reconnect with that Jesus, that we need to connect with him again and follow him and do what he wants in our life. Maybe the reason that you don't have that real fulfillment of meaning in your life is that you haven't really totally surrendered to him. Give him everything. Allow him to be in control. When you accept Jesus, you accept him as your Lord. That means he is your king, and you're going to serve him. And maybe you're holding back. Maybe there's somebody this morning that are holding back and not really surrendering to him. Maybe there's others here this morning that need to commit to telling others about what Jesus has done for them. You know, this is not a secret. It's not something that we need to keep to ourselves, but we need to share with each and every person we come in contact with. Maybe there's somebody this morning that need to commit to telling everyone. Not hiding behind it, but sharing it with others so that others can know him. Because Jesus told us not to keep this to ourselves, but to tell others. Maybe there's others here that need to make there's the church home. Maybe there's some other decision, something that's on your heart. We're going to have a time of public decision. If you need to make that decision this morning, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you need to make that decision this morning, let's make it. Maybe there's some of these decisions that can be made right from where you're at. Make them there. Don't leave here without making the decision that God has laid upon your heart today. Whatever it is, let's do it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.